Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, man.
What do you want?
We got to talk.
We have nothing left to say to each other.
Two guys in masks jumped me and strapped a bomb to my chest. Now I have less than 9 hours to rob a bank.
You're hysterical. Great joke.
What the?
Keep your voice down.
Is that thing real? And your first thought was to come to a school filled with young children?
So that is from the upcoming 30 Minutes or Less, a film with Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari. Slate's film critic Dana Stevens is back for part two of our summer movie preview. And today we're supposed to be talking about films, not the giant blockbuster movies we talked about yesterday. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good. So 30 Minutes or Less is an action comedy. Does Jesse Eisenberg of The Squid and the Whale and The Social Network give it film cred?
I think this is maybe somewhere in between movie and film. It's definitely a movie slash film that I'm interested to see because it's Jesse Eisenberg going back to the director he worked with in Zombieland. I don't know if you know Zombieland, a movie that came out a couple years ago.
I do not know.
Which is also sort of an action horror comedy small film, the first film by this director, Ruben Fleischer, and Jesse Eisenberg was in the lead, and it was hilarious. So I'm really happy they're working together again and that he's going back to comedy.
Reading about the movie, a pizza delivery guy who gets a bomb strapped to his chest that will go off if he doesn't rob a bank in 9 hours. Doesn't sound like a comedy, but with Aziz Ansari as his sidekick, I guess it is.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a sick twist on Speed, you know, one of those kind of clock-ticking-away comedies.
And we decided to split our preview into movies and films. What do you think defines that line? Is it seriousness of purpose? Is it budget? Is it less mass appeal?
I guess maybe less mass appeal would be the thing that ties them together, because there's certainly some things that we're talking about today that are big budget movies, but not necessarily ones that are meant to appeal to a huge section of the audience.
Tree of Life
being the one I'm thinking of, actually, when I say that.
We had a similar conversation about opera, believe it or not, earlier in the hour.
Yeah, I heard that. That was a great conversation.
Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts are back together in the movie Larry Crown, about a middle-aged guy who loses his job and goes back to college. That situation also sounds a little more dire than the movie plays it, right? Is it really bad?
I couldn't hear the title, Brian.
The title is Larry Crown.
Oh, Larry Crown, right, the Julia Roberts-Tom Hanks romance.
Correct.
Yeah, sort of a throwback to Tom Hanks's 80s, 90s glory days as a romantic lead. And Tom Hanks directed the movie as well. Not his first feature film, because he directed That Thing You Do, but that was over a decade ago. Hmm. So this is kind of an interesting turn for his career, I think.
And what's the tone of this film? I mean, it's certainly something that a lot of people can identify with today, unfortunately. A middle-aged guy who loses a job, I guess doesn't see prospects in the line of work he was doing, and this character goes back to college.
Yeah, so it's sort of a recession drama, right? And all I know from it about it is the trailer, but it looks to me like something that I'd be very interested to see. I love Tom Hanks in that romantic lead kind of role, and for so many years he's been taking on now these more somber roles and being the muse to these big directors, and I haven't always loved the choices that he's made, so I'm kind of happy to see the old Tom Hanks back.
This category of film covers a wide range, one that at least one member of my staff is anxiously awaiting, the new Terrence Malick film, Tree of Life, and here's an audio taste of that one.
Guide us to the end of time.
Unless you love, your life will flash by.
It's a pity not to have the visuals for this one, right?
Yeah, this one doesn't really come across on audio. That clip made it sound so portentous, and it really doesn't feel that way at all when you're watching it. I think also that those were a lot of different lines from the film mashed together trailer style, so they didn't make a lot of sense.
Terrence Malick
is absolutely highly recommended. I'm reviewing it for tomorrow, and I think anyone who's interested in, you know, film with a capital F should see Tree of Life. And I actually did find it surprisingly accessible and not portentous, although it's non-narrative, and you know, it's not your normal summer movie, but it's really an important and beautiful film, I think.
Now, Terrence Malick has had a long career, starting with Badlands and Days of Heaven in the 70s, but then there was a big gap until his next film, The Thin Red Line. Does that add to the anticipation?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's one of those directors who I think of him as kind of the Thomas Pynchon of directors. He has that similar kind of very long but not very prolific career where every movie is an event. And this movie feels to me like a sort of a summation of the themes that he's been obsessed with his entire career about nature and about God and about the cosmos. And he really takes on the big questions here. He's swinging for the fences big time. And I think about 90% of it works. And even the parts that don't are so interesting that you're grateful to be seeing them.
And before we run out of time, we should definitely talk about the fact that there is a new Woody Allen movie. His new film is Midnight in Paris. It has just opened. It's getting good reviews. Did you see it?
I did. I reviewed it, and I liked it. It's definitely in the mode of the late minor Woody Allen, so maybe I was sort of grading it on a curve. But on that curve, I would give it a B+ to an A-. It's lots of fun. It's very slight. But it has a sort of a wistful, melancholic mood, and Paris looks incredibly beautiful. And I might maybe compare it to Vicky Cristina Barcelona, that film that he set in Spain a few years ago, although I actually liked it better.
Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris. Does he only make pictures in European capitals now? London, Barcelona, now Paris?
That's a good question. Well, he did go back to New York to make whatever works in between his Spain movie and this movie, but he does seem really interested now in filming other cities, which is just strange for the New York director to go and turn his camera on other cities. But he certainly does a great job of filming Paris.
There are a couple of documentaries about people and animals that look interesting. Project Nim from the director of Man on Wire that looks at the chimpanzee raised as a human back in the 70s. There's Buck about the real-life horse whisperer. We just have like 20 seconds left, and there are other movies we're not going to have time to get to. But is the idea of a summer documentary a new thing? Is it viable?
I don't remember when the big documentaries of last year were released. Actually, Cave of Forgotten Dreams is a big documentary that was just released at the beginning of the summer. I kind of disagree that everybody in the summer wants to go see a big, dumb movie. I think the summer has its interesting underside as well.
Absolutely. All right, Dana Stevens. Reviews, movies, and films for Slate.com. Dana, thanks for doing this with us 2 days in a row. The more serious ones today. We talked about the blockbusters yesterday. It was great.
Thanks so much to you, Brian. And I also wanted to say that I just pledged because I love your show and I love WNYC. I couldn't live without it.
Thank you so much. And thanks again for everyone. As the membership drive is now over, you get Leonard Lopate pledge free after the news on WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org. We have the news from the WNYC newsroom next. I'm Brian Lehrer. Talk to you tomorrow.